In the midst of all of our celebration over this feast of Christmas, I think it's good for us to take a moment to really reflect on what this feast day is all about. And really, there are three questions that I'd like to bring forward for us to reflect on this evening. First of all, who is it who has appeared among us? Who is it that we are celebrating this evening? Why did he come among us? And what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? Well, first of all, who has come among us? It's God himself, Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity, through whom everything has been made. And the more that we understand the tremendous intricacy of the universe, the tremendous beauty and balance that we find among all of creation, the more we can see the wisdom of God and the glory of the one who has appeared among us, because he's appeared in disguise. And it requires the eyes of faith to be able to see who it is who has appeared among us. Why has he appeared among us? He has appeared among us to save us. That's what his name means. The name Jesus means God saves. And we think about one of the most famous passages in all of the scriptures, one that is known by so many people, John 3:16, when Jesus himself said that God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, so that all who believed in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. So it's God himself who has come among us. He has come to us in order to save us. And I think that the more that we understand the trouble that we were in, the terrible situation in which we found ourselves, and that Jesus has come to rescue us from, the more gratitude and the more joyful we would be at this celebration of Christ's birth. We see that around us, there's still signs of the trouble that we're still partially in that trouble because we have to believe in Jesus. But when we look at the reality of death, when we look at the reality of suffering, when we look at all of these realities, these are still remnants of the trouble that we found ourselves in before Jesus came to us. And so again, these are signs to remind us of how serious that trouble was, and how Jesus has come to rescue us from that trouble. But now, what does it mean for us? Well, as we saw from that very powerful piece of scripture that I just quoted for you, that for those who believe in him, that they would be saved. And one of the things we find in the readings, both this evening's reading as well as the reading that we're going to have tomorrow morning, is the fact that when Jesus came among us, there was no room for him. Today we hear how there was no room in the inn. If you went back 2,000 years to the streets of Jerusalem, and you realize that there was a lot of expectation for the coming of the Messiah, especially because of what was prophesied through the prophet Daniel, that they were expecting that the coming of the Messiah was imminent. And so there would have been a lot of expectation in the streets of Jerusalem at that time. If you had gone around to people and asked them the question, are you ready for the coming of the Messiah? Are you ready for the Savior that God has promised to you? I think most of the people would have said, yes, I'm ready. But how do we know that they weren't ready? Because they put him to death. They didn't accept him. They thought that they were ready, but they weren't really ready. And as we reflect back on the experience of those who have gone before us, I think it requires us to consider, am I on the right path? Am I going down the path that leads to heaven? Or am I merely giving lip service to God? Am I really trying to conform myself to what God is asking? Or am I expecting God to conform himself to what I want? We live in a time, I mean, St. Paul in one of his letters said that in the last days, I'm not saying that these are the last days, by the way, you know, I'm not making that assertion. But he says, in the last days, there will be those who will keep the form of religion, but deny the power of it. They'll keep the form of religion, but deny the power of it. And I think that we can see signs of that in our own day, where people think that they have the right to make up their own minds about religion, instead of trying to really search out what it is that God wants for us, what it is that God expects of us. When I was in the seminary and we would be studying different aspects of doctrine, we would first go and see, okay, what does the Bible say? What does Scripture say? Because we have no higher authority when it comes to the things of God and the plan of God to bring us to heaven. We have no greater authority than the Bible. But the Bible doesn't present things to us in a clear manner. Sometimes it's quite obscure. And so then we went on to see what the fathers of the church, we hold the fathers of the church in a very high regard, because not only were they hearing the stories of Jesus as they were passed down from one generation to the next, some of them knew the apostles. Some of them knew people who knew the apostles. Some of them knew the people who knew the people who knew the apostles. I mean, they were very close to the time. So it wasn't just what we have in the Bible, but also the testimony of those who were close to the time of Christ, who could give us a deeper insight into what does this mean for us. And then we'd look at the doctors of the church. What does St. Thomas Aquinas say about this? What does St. John Chrysostom say about this? We would go through all of these different steps in order to try to understand what it is that God has revealed to us, and how God has passed this on from generation to generation. And we know that God has also given us some signs throughout the years, signs from heaven to confirm the belief that we have, why we believe the things that we do believe, to know that we're on the right path, to know that we're going in the right way. So I think it's important for us, like I say, as we consider the way in which so many people in the past didn't understand. They didn't understand the ways of God, and because of that, even though they were pretty confident that they knew what they were doing, we know by what actually took place that they didn't know. They didn't understand. I think in a similar way, we have difficulty understanding too. And that's why we should always reconsider, am I doing the things that I need to do in order to get to heaven? To make sure that we are on that right path, and to truly be humble, to really listen to the voice of God as it comes to us through the Scriptures and as it comes to us through the church. Otherwise, again, when the Lord comes, we won't be ready. Just as there was no room for Jesus in the inn, there will be no room for Jesus in our own hearts. So we want to know, first of all, who it is that came among us. It's God himself. The fact that he came to save us, but what it means to us is that we have the possibility of getting to heaven. But God is never, ever going to force anybody to go to heaven. We have to want to go to heaven. And part of wanting to go to heaven is our willingness to conform ourselves to the message that God has given to us, not to try to make demands on God, but to be humble and to truly listen to what God is saying, so that we can be transformed by the power of God, by the power of his grace, and that we can be ready to welcome Jesus when he comes again. I invite you now to please stand as we profess our faith. And when we pray the Nicene Creed, usually at the point where we talk about Jesus becoming a man, we usually bow at that time. But because today is the feast of the Nativity of the Lord, we're asked to genuflect at that particular point in time. So I'm sort of going to lead the way, and you can follow my lead. So we pray.